voters are facing several referendums on statewide ballots April 4th, including a pair of questions related to cash bail. It's Tuesday, March 21st. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, we'll check in with the UW women's hockey team after they won their 7th national championship. And Bridget Bowden has a story about how the state Supreme Court election could affect redistricting. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The race for a state Supreme Court seat isn't the only decision facing Wisconsin voters on April 4th. As Sarah Lear explains, citizens are also weighing statewide referendums, including two that would expand what judges are directed to consider when setting cash bail.
The bail referendums would add language to the state's constitution, saying judges can weigh a person's past violent convictions and danger to the community when setting bail. Aaron Chapin is with the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association, which supports the changes.
We're seeing individuals who are arrested, put in jail, have a hearing, and end up with a signature bond or are otherwise released at a point where they go out and they're committing additional crimes.
But critics say the expanded criteria would increase the number of people held in jail before trial, while furthering inequality between those who can and cannot pay. A third statewide referendum is non-binding. It asks voters whether they support requiring able-bodied adults to look for work as a condition of getting welfare benefits. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A University of Wisconsin-based research center is receiving renewed federal support for its work to develop alternatives to gasoline and other fuels. Danielle Kading reports the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center in Madison will receive $27.5 million this year.
The funding is part of $590 million awarded by the U.S. Department of Energy over 5 years to four bioenergy research centers nationwide. Tim Donahue is director of the Madison Center.
This funding is going to go toward moving society closer to being able to make lower carbon transportation fuels and chemicals using non-food crop material.
Trees and grasses are major sources of the material. Donahue says it contains sugars and aromatic compounds that can be used to make fuels. The shift to cleaner fuel sources is a key part of a federal plan released in January to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin continues to see historically low unemployment, but as Joe Schultz reports, the state economy is starting to show signs that it could be slowing down.
Over the first 2.5 months of 2023, the State Department of Workforce Development saw increased layoff notices compared to the same period last year. Almost 2,000 workers have been affected this year. That's more than half of the employees affected in all of 2022. Laura Dresser is with an economic think tank at UW-Madison. She says the layoffs are tied to the Federal Reserve's efforts to curb inflation.
There's federal policy focused on trying to cool economic growth. I think it's also the case that the economy remains, in spite of that, quite robust in terms of demand for workers.
The most recent data shows Wisconsin's unemployment rate remained low at 2.9% in January. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Racine's incumbent mayor is facing off against an outspoken conservative in this spring election. Evan Casey has more on the campaign.
The city of Racine has historically voted Democrat, but that could change this election as conservative Henry Perez is looking to unseat Mayor Corey Mason. Mason is a former Democratic member of the Wisconsin State Assembly. He's been mayor since 2017. Crime has been a major focus of both campaigns as gun violence is up in the city. Mason says public safety is a top priority.
Safe and healthy neighborhoods are definitely a big priority. We're continuing to do our violent crime initiative where we're reducing gun crime and as importantly, investing in crime prevention to prevent these gun crimes from happening in the first place.
Perez is a former police officer and current alderman. He wants to increase the number of police in the city. He's been endorsed by the Racine County Republican Party as well. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Badgers women's hockey team got a warm welcome after winning their seventh national title on Sunday. Gabby Vinnick reports the team celebrated with fans in Madison on Monday night.
The Ohio State Buckeyes were consistently ranked number one throughout the season. But in a major upset over the weekend, the Badgers beat them 1-0. Team players and fans gathered at the LeBlanc Arena to celebrate the historic win. Caroline Harvey is a freshman defenseman.
I didn't know what was going to happen this season, and to have a national championship under our belt just in the first year is pretty incredible, to say the least. But we obviously aren't done yet, and we want many more to come.
The women's hockey team now leads Minnesota with the most championships in the Frozen Four. Gabby Vinnick, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Bridget Bowden has a story about what the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court election could mean for the state's political district maps. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, Wisconsin voters will choose a new state Supreme Court justice next month, with the ideological lean of the court hanging in the balance. The new court will be asked to weigh in on any number of hot-button issues, including the state's abortion ban. But it could also consider a challenge to the state's political district maps, which have been called among the most gerrymandered in the nation. As Bridget Bowden reports, it has the potential to shape the state's political landscape for years to come.
In statewide elections in Wisconsin, sometimes Republicans win. Sometimes it's Democrats. But when it comes to which party controls the legislature, it's never close. With the help of the redistricting plan they first drew more than a decade ago, Republicans win every time. In 2015, Wisconsin Democrats thought they had the answer to this, a new standard to measure gerrymandering that would give federal courts the ability to decide when maps were too partisan. They took the idea all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the day they made their arguments, it was obvious that some of the justices weren't ready to go there.
And it may be simply my educational background, but I can only describe a sociological gobbledygook.
A couple years later, the Supreme Court slammed the door to the idea that partisan gerrymandering could be solved in federal courts. But according to University of Wisconsin-Madison law professor and redistricting expert Rob Yablon, that wasn't the end of the road.
The court in that decision explicitly left the door open for state courts to consider partisan gerrymandering claims under their own state constitutions.
And that's why the maps are a huge issue in this year's race for an open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where liberal Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz is facing conservative former Justice Dan Kelly. If Protasiewicz wins, it would flip the ideology of the court for the first time since 2008. And that could be big for Wisconsin's maps, Yablon says, because someone could challenge them in court.
I have little doubt that if the court's composition changes, someone is going to try to pursue that case.
The state's current maps were drawn by Republican legislators in 2021. They were based on maps that Republicans drew 10 years before. In that time, the GOP has held strong control of both houses of the legislature, even in years when Democrats did well in statewide elections. Yablon says different maps might change that.
If the Wisconsin Supreme Court adopted new maps, those maps would by no means guarantee that the Democrats would take control of the legislature, but it would at least raise the possibility that there would be a meaningful fight for legislative control.
That could open the door to any number of policy changes that Democrats haven't been able to pursue in recent history, like expanding Medicaid, legalizing marijuana, and codifying abortion rights. Protasiewicz, the candidate backed by Democrats, says she'd like to take a fresh look at the maps.
So let's be clear here. The maps are rigged, bottom line. Absolutely, positively rigged. They do not reflect the people in this state.
Protasiewicz stops short of saying how she would rule in a redistricting lawsuit, saying she's merely expressing her values. Kelly, the candidate backed by Republicans, takes issue with that.
I think when someone tells you what their values are in answer to a legal question, they're telling you how they're going to decide a case.
He defends the maps and says personal values shouldn't come into play when deciding a legal question. Rick Essenberg is the president of the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He says even if a map challenge were to be brought before the state Supreme Court, he doubts a violation of the Wisconsin Constitution could be proven.
The problem is that there really isn't anything in the Wisconsin Constitution other than a requirement that the maps be contiguous and compact. And the thing about the maps in Wisconsin is that they are contiguous and compact.
But Jeff Mandel, a redistricting lawyer at the liberal firm Law Forward, believes there are provisions in the Wisconsin Constitution that the maps violate. He says there's no hard and fast plan for how to challenge the maps yet.
But there are plenty of conversations going on about what such a lawsuit would look like, who would be included, what claims it would make, and how it would proceed.
If the court flips, he says it's likely a challenge is filed pretty quickly. The new justice will be seated on August 1st. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning, and don't forget to subscribe. And you can always find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.